B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Proud of you, John.
Thanks, man. I learned my lesson.
Did. 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Danny Ainge, is president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello.
Happy New Year, Fred, Rich, and John. How are we doing today?
Danny Ainge, thank you for naming all of us as we come together on this occasion of great basketball intrigue. As last night, yesterday afternoon, I should say, there would be declared nothing short of a blockbuster trade. James Harden moving to the Brooklyn Nets, a name, James Harden, that Ramona Shelbourne from ESPN, decorated, respected reporter, has said that you, Danny Ainge, had interest in. Your thoughts?
Are you guys, like, in the same studio?
Two of us
are. Do you have, like, glass in between you? Two of you are?
No, me and John.
I am remote. This is Rich. I'm remote. Fred and John have, like, this gigantic bank window.
No. Actually, we don't. But, Rich has been in his house in Nantucket for a year.
Yep, since March.
Just about, yeah.
He's been there for one full year.
My wife is immunocompromised.
It's pretty good. It sounds great, though. Like, you can't tell that. That's amazing.
Yeah, well,
it's radio magic.
No, it's the professionalism, Danny. I mean, if you get other people in here, it's going to sound like crap. But if you get the
right
big dogs,
right,
who make the big bucks, Danny, that's how we get things. But the big dogs, Danny, back to the question. Mm-hmm. Back to the question. You tried to deacon duck me, but I'm following you. I got a scent on you. What are your thoughts on all this shenanigans? Were you in on this thing or what?
I mean, James Harden is a great player. I mean, everybody knows that. He's one of the best offensive players that have ever played the game in any era. So, James is a great player. I think every team in the league respects him and fears him as an opponent.
Now, were you interested in him?
Did the Rockets call you? Yeah, did the Rockets call you about James Harden?
Yeah, we had conversations regarding James, but not recently. But yeah, we did have conversations.
Was this a price too high situation? And did your opinion of the price change as this young season progressed?
No, listen, we had numerous talks, but the price really wasn't changing. The price was really high for us, and it was just something we didn't want to do. And I'm not sure there was anybody, even the people that, within our organization that, respected him and wanted him more. But I think unanimously we decided it wasn't the time for us, and it wasn't the price.
Was him being fat a deterrent?
I think he'll be okay.
I want to know.
But you're watching him on TV.
Hang on, John. Step aside. I want to know, Dan.
Sure.
One thing is that I am interested in all seriousness, is that a premier athlete at 31, I want to know how long it takes him to lose 30 pounds. That is something that I'm actually fascinated in. How long it takes to play that off. That is something. But him being fat had nothing to do with anything, huh? You're saying?
No, probably not.
All right.
When is the last time you had a conversation with a player about, dude, you might want to watch your weight?
Well, he had Big Baby.
That's a good point.
Every day.
Well, there was Jared Sullinger, Big
Davis,
Baby.
Sullinger,
no,
yeah.
There's a history here of a few guys that I can immediately think of, but when's the last time you had to have that conversation with a player?
You know, I have conversations with, you'd be surprised how many guys we have that conversation with. Just, not just weight, but all conditioning, you know, from a body fat standpoint and conditioning, guys that I see that are out of shape. I mean, I'm really, really big on conditioning. I think it's such a critical part of reaching your potential. And, so I have conversations pretty regularly with guys about their conditioning.
How do they take it for the most part when you mention, because I mean, there's some people I could see being fairly sensitive to that. How do they usually take it when you have to mention their weight?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different. You have to approach it, you know, knowing the players, you have to approach each guy in a different way. But most of the guys receive that right. I mean, they just, a lot of guys have struggle with it, and they have addictions to food, and it's just not as easy for them to get their bodies in shape, and some just don't have the discipline. But oftentimes, I've seen some, you know, my favorite one was Perkins. I mean, when we drafted Perkins, he was well over 300 pounds. And I remember having those conversations with Perk, and my office was right above the weight room, and I was looking down on the weight room one day, and it was so fun. I saw Perk take his shirt off and was looking at himself in the mirror.
Really?
And
was he crying?
And his body looked good. I mean, he had put in some serious work and had lost, you know, 35 or 40 pounds, and he looked good with his shirt off. I mean, it was a huge transformation, and, you know, he was one of those great stories.
That's funny that he thinks he's having a private moment, and he finally feels that he's comfortable enough to take his shirt off, and he, you know, kind of cautiously looks in the mirror, and there's Danny beaming down at him going, get with it, fatso.
Danny, okay, so, you know, Harden talks his way off of Houston, and Kyrie's not showing up in New Jersey. Has the league swung too far in terms of the players having all this power? Is it gotten a little bit out of control?
You know, listen, we have our own challenges, and I don't really worry too much about the challenges that other teams, but I don't think so. I think that there are individual circumstances and instances, but I think those are the unusual times, and, you know, players that have extreme power that are, you know, paid so much money and generate so much attention around the league. But right now, I mean, our team is really all I know, and we have a great, great group of guys, and it's really fun to be around them.
If you had a player that just went off the grid and didn't tell you where they were going, how do you handle that as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, that's unacceptable, and you have to figure out why, what's going on, and try to find a way to communicate and reconcile and figure out a way to get to make reasons. I don't know why. I mean, I have no idea. Like every player, like I said, with the weight, it's the same thing with personalities. I mean, every person is different, and every circumstance is different. And so, like, I'm not judging anybody. I learned a long time ago not to judge anybody until you know their story. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the story, and so I'm not going to be critical of anybody yet until I know what's going on.
Well, let's talk about, I guess, what's happening right now, which has been strange, obviously, this week with all the games that have been postponed. First of all, I believe right now it's just Tatum and Robert Williams who have tested positive for COVID. There was a third name, but I don't know if it's been released. How are those guys feeling right now?
Well, you know, I can't confirm nor deny anybody that's tested. That's the strict guidelines I have, but I think that our players are all doing well. We have some that are in contact tracing also, so like all of our players are doing well, and it looks like we're going to be able to play a game tomorrow, but you know, we still have 17 more tests to do between now and then. So we'll have to find out what happens. You know, each of these tests, you're just on pins and needles right now, the way that our society has gone, more than the NBA. The NBA's done a pretty good job. But anyway, it looks like we're moving in the right direction, so that's good.
What do you think of the contract tracing protocol that they're using? Because we discussed this with Chris Mannix the other day, and there was a situation with the Nets where Kevin Durant, who had already tested positive earlier in the year, he was close to one of the guys in the team who had COVID, so he was put in – he wasn't able to play, even though science says that the antibodies would mean that he couldn't get it. What do you think of the way this is all being put out there and the way they pick and choose who indeed has to sit out a game and who doesn't?
Well, I mean, they're, you know, I don't know, again, the circumstances are all unique, but I think that they're, just because you've had it doesn't mean you're not going to get it again. And I think they've learned that. And even though it's less likely, that's the first thing, and it seems like, you know, that's what some people believe, that you're not going to get it again, but that's not true. You can get it again, and there have been players that have tested positive that have gotten it again. So that's that goes.
Really, there's been players in the NBA that have gotten it twice?
Antibodies. You can have the antibodies, I guess, for it. You don't have the corona. Like, you don't get sick, but you can be carrying the sickness.
Well, I mean, once you get it, you would have the antibodies. But what you're saying is that there's been people who have been infected twice in the NBA?
Yes. Yes, oh. I have heard that.
Well, that's interesting.
So, Liz,
okay.
I think that I've had friends of mine that have had it and have tested for the antibodies and showed that they had the antibodies to confirm that they did have the coronavirus, but then 2 or 3 months later did not have the antibodies any longer.
Well, that's okay. Very confusing.
So, right.
I don't like that sounds of that
at all.
I think
a lot of the scientists are saying that the antibodies on the average, I think, are staying in your system for 5 months. I read that somewhere. I have no idea if that's true or not. Okay. But that's what I read somewhere recently.
But the players know.
We're learning a lot of science in the NBA with all the tests that we're doing.
I know. It's got to be. It's got to be just a.
It's like learning about.
Be worn out after all this.
It's like learning about the ideal gas law during the Deflategate. If you were an NFL team, but this is exciting stuff. Put on the biological hat there, Danny Ainge.
So who's set to be on the court Friday then? Like who is expected back? What are we looking at?
Well, we're expected to have Tristan and Grant back today at practice. And then for the game tomorrow, we're hoping to have, you know, more players than that back. But we can't say, I can't say who. We're just going to, we'll put out a report as to which players are in and out, questionable, doubtful. All that report will come out sometime today, before 5 o'clock today.
What about Kemba? Because I know that before even these games were postponed, there was speculation that he might be able to return by tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, so I think that would have – I'm not sure who said that, but I think that was a little bit early. But, the challenge with Kemba is Kemba's working, but he really hasn't played basketball. And with all these tests that have come back, and with our team in our inability to practice and do nothing but one-on-zero workouts, it's hard to get Kemba, you know, the reps that he needs and the real basketball that he needs to get back out on the court to play a game. So I'm not sure is the answer.
But that's got to feel good, because if I'm not mistaken, this was a fairly optimistic timeline for him. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be a decent amount later, and here we are, you know, and I hate to say it, these postponed games benefit the team, because then he'll only have missed, you know, about 10 or 11 games before he ends up coming back. This is a fairly good sign, is it not, for Kemba?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, I'd rather play the games even without Kemba, because we don't want to stack the games up later in the season. But, Kemba has progressed well. He's worked extremely hard, and I'm excited about his return, and I know he's really excited to get back on the court. But, yeah, he's doing fine, and we're hoping for big things.
Well, you've had a nice, I mean, something that looks like you turned out to do a great job in that first round, because Peyton Pritchard, you know, over these last couple of games has been impressive to the point where, I mean, he's getting trusted by Brad Stevens to keep him in at the end of games, close games. And he won a game for you guys the other day with that last second putback. Is this something that you're surprised by, how quickly he's been able to just right from the start contribute to the team?
You know, it's hard to know how it's all going to fit. You know, when you're drafting players, I mean, I really liked Peyton, watching him play for the last 4 years at University of Oregon. And but you never know how it's going to work with a coach and with the other players on the team. But, you know, he was a kid that just from day one, I think he got the attention of the veteran players and the coaches. And it's just been a good fit. He's been the kind of player that we needed. His shooting has been very important. He's made some big shots and some big plays, and he's shown that he can compete defensively against some bigger guys. And he's been a very fun player to watch so far this year.
How do you do that, not piss off, like being like a rookie and showing up? Because there's got to be some players that do it wrong, that show up and immediately rub the players the wrong way. Like, how do you do it wrong and how do you do it right?
Well, yeah, there's definitely been players that have shown up and done it wrong. And I don't think intentionally wrong. I think good guys that just, like, didn't know how they were going to respond. I remember one time when we drafted J.R. Giddens, and J.R. came in, and the first day he was wearing KG's shoes. And our equipment manager had given a pair of shoes to JR because he didn't have any shoes, and that was the only person that wore the same size. So when KG saw those shoes being worn by that rookie who he didn't even know, he about blew a gasket. But I don't think he wanted anything to do with JR for the rest of the time. He had no chance from that day on.
Well, he wasn't there very long, so you didn't have to worry about it.
And that poor guy had no idea. Like, what was his fault? It's like, hey, he gave me some shoes. And the next thing you know, you're hated by everyone. So.
Well,
but Pritchard seems to, I mean, it's like it's the point where, you know, you've got Tristan Thompson and Jaylen Brown giving him nicknames, posting these, you know, Instagram videos of his from when he was in high school shirtless. I mean, they really seem to like the guy. And I guess other than playing, he seems to be doing everything right to click with these players.
Yeah, like I said, I think that his work ethic and his grit, you know, right away, he wasn't intimidated. He felt like he belonged. He showed it, you know, in the first scrimmages that we had in training camp. And I think that they, you know, he just earned their respect for all those reasons. And, you know, there's definitely some rookie hazing going on with those videos, those high school videos of him shirtless dancing. Not a very good dancer, by the way.
No.
But anyway, I think they're just having fun with the rookie. He takes it really well and goes out and competes hard.
Until he snaps, and then you'll all know the wrath of Peyton Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
When the facade of the happy-go-lucky rookie wears off.
That's right.
Now, have you met a Kardashian yet? You mentioned Tristan Thompson. Have you met a Kardashian? Are you involved in their Instagram accounts?
I am not. No. I did watch the show one time for 15 minutes with my daughter, who was staying at my house. And so I went up there and upstairs and watched the show with her, and I didn't understand why she would be watching the show, but
anyway, it's so good.
Only exposure to the Kardashians.
Oh, Danny, it's really good. You got to go back and revisit the episodes.
You're really missing out.
I don't know how, Danny, you know what? You're just too absorbed in basketball. You don't know how to enjoy yourself anymore if you can't sit down and enjoy the antics of that family.
Danny's a Cobra Kai guy.
Do you guys watch that show?
No.
Not enough.
Absolutely not.
Not enough weird stuff's going on. I need more.
All right. I'm more of a Real Housewives guy. I mean, if you're going to choose one, it's like being a Beatles or an Elvis fan. You can't be both. You got to choose your side.
I just watch old episodes of Gunsmoke. I like when a man was a man. All right, Danny Ainge, listen, you know, you tried to get James Harden, we found out, but, you know, things, these things happen. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We do appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, there you go. See you, man. The great Danny Ainge.
I have a feeling, and we'll talk a little bit about it in a minute, but, I mean, there was when this whole James Harden thing before the season started even happened, everyone was saying that it would take the Celtics to give up Jaylen Brown. And I believe that if there was any kind of hint that the team wanted to do it before the season started, that was wiped away real quick several games in, because they realized that Jaylen's turning into something special. He's one of the top five scorers in the league, and also in the top five is Jason Tatum. So I don't know how and the chemistry's perfect right now on the team. Things seem to be going well. They're the best record in the East. I have a feeling that even if they had a hint of wanting to make that trade a couple games in, they went, no, I like what we got.
And also, it looks like they're going to play tomorrow. That's the other piece of news. Looks like, pending all the testing that the team has to go through, it looks like the game's on for tomorrow.
No, that's a lot of pending. So,
well, I mean, it wasn't pending anything when they lost Tuesday and Wednesday. That was pretty much a given. This time, it looks like they have a chance.
You know, and it's good because I'm just about in the mood for some hoop.
Good.
It's been a while.
They canceled the Michigan State-Iowa game.
It's been a week.
They canceled the Michigan State-Iowa game. I was going to see Michigan State go up against your boy over there in Iowa, Captain Eyebrows.
Oh, yes.
The better-looking John Wallach, Garza.
Right, the center. Yeah, Matt Garza. Yeah. Not Matt Garza. Is it Matt Garza?
I think it is Matt Garza.
Okay, Luke Garza.
No, Matt Garza is a pitcher.
Yeah, Luke Garza.
Luke Garza.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back if you have anything you want.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Add or say, how could you not ask Danny this? It's 617-779-0985.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I thought yesterday things were really escalating and there was a lot of talk between, it was coming to a head. It felt like the negotiations between, and there was really three teams, okay? There was the Sixers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics kind of ducked out. They weren't in it at the end. There were also a handful of other teams that weren't on James Harden's preferred list. They were interested, but obviously Houston was trying to deal with the teams that James had expressed an interest in or said he was comfortable with, and those teams were willing to give up more because if James Harden wants to go there, then theoretically you have a better chance of keeping him beyond the 2 years on his contract that he has left.
Ramona Shelbourne. Heard that? I actually got that news from that she said that from our boy Jay Stu on Twitter. So Jay Stu, tip of the cap to you, my friend.
Yep, Jay turned Stu it around. Sent that audio clip as well. That's how on top of it he was.
So Jay Stu, thank you. Jay Stu does it. We flipped the question back on to Danny. Danny says we were in, but then the price was too high. Which could only be called cornered. He would not relent to James Harden's fat acidness as being a reason for not pulling the trigger on that deal.
There was a report also that came out, and I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Steve Bolpet, and this was back before the season even started, I think, or maybe we're just a couple games in. But he said that, I guess, that the Celtics had spoken to enough people within the Houston organization to learn that this was a bad idea.
He's like, a bad guy.
Like, that, this is not a guy that you want to hitch your wagon to, and there were enough people, he had done enough damage within that organization, and people who were there had seen enough that they were like, you don't want anything to do with this. Which is, you know, I will say, the one thing that I can say is that I believe he would have been a success here simply because there's no strip clubs. And, I mean, you want to talk about a city that's completely devoid of any kind of strip club distraction.
Sad. It's almost puritanical, what the situation that we're in here. And, I mean, if a woman wants to remove her clothes for money, cash money, I don't understand why they're being prohibited here, but that is the case.
One of my favorite things is a sports nerd with too much time on his hands, because somebody sat down and actually made a graph, an equation as to how well James Harden would perform on the road in relation to how many strip clubs there were and how they were rated on Yelp. the more strip clubs, the worse performance, the less he seemed to do well. So there you go.
I'm just so bad at getting audio for the radio. A writer from St. Louis retweeted some sports nerd, and he was on the baseball. What's the baseball stats? Baseball Reference.
Yeah,
and he's like, guys, just a little heads up. Larry Walker, the splits, but I want to know his splits home and away during day games during 1992. Well, did you know if you click and then double click, oh, hello, here they are. And it was like this, he was the cat who ate the canary. He'd figured out a little hack on the old Baseball Reference.
Yes. Very strange.
Yes, I was looking for those Larry Walker statistics, my friend.
Well, one of my favorite things is, by the way, how great is that Danny Ainge perk story where he just had his shirt off, he comes checking himself out in the mirror,
Is that Danny at the old facility, I haven't been to the basketball portion of the new facility, but at the old facility, him and Tyronn Lue, their offices were overlooking all the stuff.
Courts, yeah.
And the weight room.
Yep.
And so you would be, in a moment, you probably went to the gym alone because, you know, you're feeling a little self-conscious. And then finally, you're like, you know, you're pumping. Everyone's been there at the gym and you see a vein you didn't see before. You're like, am I getting vascular or is it me? And then he slyly takes his shirt off slowly and looks around and starts looking in the mirror, and there's Danny judging from high above.
Well, the best too, Fred, is now that they have the Arbok Center, which is phenomenal. Do you look at that old place and go, dude, what a dump that workout facility was.
It was the most inconvenient place to get to.
It was attached to an old person gym.
Yeah, it was attached to a real, a gym that people went to.
But it was always old people when I went.
Well, you should have seen the place that place replaced.
I don't care if it was, I know, No, I know you have, John. Have you been to where they used to practice before there?
I have, and I know what you're talking
about. My son had a summer camp there, a basketball summer camp.
There's
and
a
I walked
stage
in.
At one end of the floor.
It's legitimately a church court.
That's
like those dump church courts where they also have the stage. The idea that a professional basketball...
The parking lot had room for six cars right out in front.
That's a dump
place.
But then they moved to Waltham.
Yes.
Which is, Waltham might be the most inconvenient place on the planet to get to.
But once you got in the building to find where they were practicing. Right.
Well, they were attached, if you don't know, they were attached to this massive health club.
Yep.
Which was for everybody. You or I could go there and get a membership and start working out there. And it was attached to this actual health club.
Which was always filled with old people whenever I went.
It was just, it's right up, it's 10 miles up 95, take you about 2 hours to get there.
Yeah. Then you had this one road around a big pond.
It will take you an hour to go 9 miles.
That's right. And Fred, you know the scene in Spinal Tap where they get lost underneath the stage? That's what it took for you to get to where they were actually practicing after you walked right past the smoothie maker at this old person gym. And so you would go in and you get lost in these catacombs, and then finally you'd show up. That place, can you imagine bringing a free agent that you're trying to impress and go, okay, one more thing with the
Cuban's
foot
guard. Port on the space station, and you're like, hey, look, we're attached to some old gym.
But the thing is, your point of reference is different. You're like, hey, look at this newfangled facility we have here, when in reality, you're still behind.
Yeah, because you're not playing at the church gym anymore. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Larry Bird, all those Hall of Famers practiced in that abject dump.
That's the thing. Ainge practiced on that court, too.
Well, at least it was in Brookline. But then
they had a talent show afterwards on that stage.
That's right. Everybody pull up the folding chairs.
I'm not kidding.
Walton bust out the bongos.
I'm not kidding. I bet you practice had gotten bumped a couple minutes because something ran over that was scheduled in that gym.
Oh, you're probably right.
I mean, that is a dump. There's no air conditioning. I mean, we're not talking about 1950 when when the garden was filled with smoke. We're talking about the late 80s. I mean, they're not long ago. I mean, they had the computers and everything back then. I mean, my God. It's something it's ridiculous. I mean, the Pistons had a real training facility, like a real one, like a really nice one back then. I mean, how they got away with that is crazy.
That new
where'd they work out?
That I don't think there was a weight room. I don't think there was anything. God.
They probably could have won 10 championships if they had an actual training facility.
Then you go to the garden, which is like a minor step up.
I never went to the old garden.
All the stuff you hear is true. There were rats running around.
No,
there
that's
were
everywhere.
Smoke in the tunnel, like out right behind
the upper bowl.
No, I'm sure. Well, it's Boston's version of the old Tiger Stadium.
When the bleacher creatures. And then they went, that's not a good idea.
Seriously. I mean, I'm thinking that the two are pretty much on level.
DeBrusque is on?
Oh, good. Huh. We have Jake DeBrusque right now? Yeah, let's go.
For no reason. DeBrusque, we didn't know you were coming on. You're on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Jake DeBrusque.
Hey, what's going on? I thought we had a scheduled time.
We always got time. I'm sure you wanted to be on the radio. You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
It is game day.
It is game day.
Game day, baby. This is exciting times. How was the off season for you with the corona and everything else? You feel good? You feel good to go?
Yeah, I feel good to go. Obviously, it was a bit of a soup, with everything going on and all the restrictions and, everything going around the world. So, I mean, it was obviously a little bit different, but definitely feel ready to go. Training camp just was fast and quick, no preseason games, but looking forward to tonight. I think everyone's antsy to get back on the ice and playing against different players. I guess it'd be nice to play against someone else besides their own team.
Are you playing Fortnite still, or are you completely focused on the task at hand?
I haven't played Fortnite in a couple of days, but I still dabble here and there with Tasta. We stream sometimes, but yeah, not as much as normal. I've kind of lost my. I lost my stride in that, not going to lie. I haven't really improved on that aspect.
Well, you're on second contract now. So now you've matured into a second contract guy. You're too much. It's too immature for you. I understand.
Something like that, I guess.
What's life like without Zdeno Chara in the locker room? How much of a shock was that news to you, if at all?
It definitely was a shock. I mean, it's obviously... he's been pretty much a pillar here ever since he came, and for myself personally, it was obviously a really good leader to lean off of, and a guy that you can watch every single day, just his habits and everything that he does. He sacrifices so much to be able to, obviously with the news coming out, it was tough for us, but we got lots of good leaders in here and guys that with a core group that kind of made it a little bit the transition seemed pretty decent. So, obviously going to miss him. It's going to be weird to play against him, though. That's for sure. He's going to be it's going to be a funny sight.
If you can't outskate him, you suck. He's slow as hell. What are you afraid of, Zdeno Chara? Come on.
Well, his stick, though. He's got a deadly
big deal. He's got long arms. Big deal. Go get go get some 7-footer out there and just have him stand. If you can't, Zdeno Chara's playing for less money than you, by a lot. You should be able to outskate him.
Well, this means we might be able to end up seeing the amazing Kevin Miller versus Zdeno Chara fight that we've all been dreaming about.
Oh, that would be something else.
Who wins that fight?
Oh, that's two heavyweights right there. I have no idea who would win that one. I mean, Z probably has a reach on him, but that'd be a crazy fight.
Well, you're going to see them like 5-6 times. You're going to see them 8 times this year. You know it's going to happen.
It might happen. I don't know how it could, I guess, but...
Yeah, why would it happen?
It'd be weird, I guess. It depends on the games. You're right. If you play a team 8 times, obviously it's going to get way more intense as the games go along. It's more like a series vibe to it, I guess, if that makes any sense. But, it'll be interesting to see if that was to ever happen. I don't know I don't really know how to comment on that, to be honest. That'd be crazy.
Do you guys talk about that?
Miller's got that crazy gene, too. Like, that's the one thing. Like, you know, Zidane's just a big guy that you know can kick anybody's ass.
No, his dad tortured him.
Miller's got that crazy gene.
No, Chara's dad tortured him growing up. Chara's got a lot of pain in there.
Oh, my goodness. He's like Thanos, man.
Exactly.
You can't hurt Z.
Exactly. His dad, like, stretched him out in, like, a stone cabin behind the house.
It's his dad as big as he is.
I'm not lying either. I'm telling the truth.
He's a wrestler, his father.
No, I'm telling the truth.
Are these confirmed sources? I don't know. I've never heard about that.
Oh, you don't know that? No, in all seriousness, I'm not joking around. Zdeno's dad was this Olympic wrestler.
Yeah, Zdeněk Chara.
Yes,
that's right.
That's true. Thank you. Zdeno's dad used to take him, and they had this stone like shed in the back of their house, and wherever he grew up, whatever it was called at the time. And his dad would like wrestle him and like make him do wrestling stuff. And like make them work out back there. So you got to imagine that was a whole situation. I mean, that doesn't sound like a fun way to grow up. I got to tell you. So yeah, there's a lot of pain underneath those eyes, my friend.
Oh my God,
you didn't see it. All right. Well, listen. You thank you for calling in. We want to talk to you this season, and you look like you got a line that you should be with here, and maybe get a little continuity going, which you always haven't had. In terms of your line mates, and maybe we're in a situation now that you'll have that. And best of luck tonight. We're looking forward to seeing you guys. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you guys. Cheers.
All right, take it easy.
You too, man.
There you go. Didn't know that Zdeno's dad stretched him out in the back. That's, which is, by the way, what it's called, according to the Bret the Hitman Hart book.
Yeah. Stretching them out,
yeah. It's called stretching you out. I don't know why.
But Kevin Miller, and you know what? McQuaid had that, too. Like, they just got that crazy gene.
McQuaid wasn't crazy.
Well, McQuaid got in a fight.
No, he was just
smile.
A big dumb farmer kid.
He kind of had that. The way he would smile in his fights.
Yeah, he's dope. He was just like a dopey
dope.
Kid.
That guy was terrifying.
I didn't say I wanted to fight him. I said he's a big dopey kid. Like, I liked him. I liked
McQuaid
Miller's a lot.
See, Miller's classically trained, and he looks like he's got that crazy gene.
Well, Miller's supposed to be crazy. That according to people on the team, Miller is crazy. I don't think he's a lot of fun to be around. So
no, I think they love him.
No, they do, but I don't think he's like the life of the party. I think that he's a like he's not Ty Domi crazy. I think he's like I stay to myself crazy.
That's an interesting comparison.
No, Ty Domi had a house in Rye. Oh, you know all about it.
Yes,
Rich, you don't. They rent. Ty Domi would have these series of roommates and. Whatever, I won't get into it. Whatever their relationships were, but he would. They rented this house in this like, nice area in Rye, New York, and they would just be like kegs going through the windows, apparently, and like you know plastic cups in the front yard. Like it was a whole situation. Ty Domi was crazy in another way. All right, Rich, what is coming up in the old Stackarooski?
All right, well, we got some time to get to some pretty funny information that's coming out about the whole Kyrie Irving situation. Let's go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, so I look forward to that. Hear that.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hi, Fred. Hi, Rich. John, how are you?
Thank you for saying our name.
In Boston, everybody knows their names.
It lends a sense of intimacy to this conversation.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Oldest chum.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
We didn't get our bonuses. This paycheck.
You don't get paid today.
No, the wireless. God, you guys. I know bank is showing that the transfer is waiting to be accepted tomorrow, and the bonus is not in there, is my point.
I guess we can't buy that swimming pool we're going to put in the back. And I'm glad he's going to have to stay.
I would say what you will, but that's two paychecks since the ratings came out, and I would like to get my bonus. It's a hefty number, and I would like to receive it. Say what you will. Make your jokes. But that's our money, and I want it. All right, what's going on?
Well, Julian Edelman posted something on the internet yesterday. Oh, and it wasn't one of his amazing videos of him joshing around on his longboard. He actually retweeted an article that was written about how he had made $1 million, or at least it's worth a million, or maybe more than a million, about
a Mantle
his
rookie
social media
card?
Empire. What's that?
A PSA 7 Mickey Mantle rookie, maybe?
No. He tweeted out something, and on it said, "Boston, I love you. You've weighed on my and my family's mind for a long time, and people are reading into that as possibly someone saying goodbye."
I think it might be him wanting attention.
I would think that that's probably more likely what he's doing there.
Oh, it's been six months since someone paid attention to me. It's time.
I mean, listen, he's got one more year left on his contract. The Patriots can indeed cut him or trade him. And we do know that he didn't play a whole hell of a lot during last season. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise anybody if we had seen his last game as a Patriot.
He's the kind of guy you want around for a rebuild. A guy that's coming off an injury that's old.
Character guy.
Yeah, I mean, you want him. A guy that might be able to contribute, kind of. You want him. Because you can't give out that slot receiver position to just anyone. That's like a first pick in the draft kind of situation.
Well, the bad news is, if you're a Julian Edelman fan, is that the Patriots would save $4 million if they decide to cut him.
He's worth every penny.
It almost seems to be kind of a writing on the wall situation.
If their one receiver that they have could fit into that spot. I mean, that's Jacoby Myers' job. I mean, he's slow, but he's big. I guess he could run routes, and so you put him at the slot, and then you go out and draft or get a free agent to go play the outside receivers.
So dead serious. Chances that he's a Buccaneer next year.
Oh, no, they got that kid Scotty Miller does the exact same thing, right?
Yeah, but they also have a bunch of receivers and went out and got a Antonio Brown. I think that Rich has a point. I would say better than not.
Oh, can you imagine, though, if the Patriots
cut him? He played for nothing.
Well, I know that.
He played for nothing.
Can you imagine, though, if the Patriots do cut him, and I think that's a very good bet, and his agent makes the phone call and Tom Brady says, "Nope, don't need him."
And then it's just him and Gronk.
Oh man!
I mean, that would be pretty funny if he was out there and nobody called him, and like,
well, no one's gonna call him.
No, he's gonna have to make the phone calls. But if he calls Tampa Bay and says, "I want to play with my buddy," just talk to Tom; he'll vouch for me. And they go. Bruce Arians goes to Brady and goes, "What do you think?" And Brady's like, "No,
you know,
I'm good."
You know who might want him is Miami, because the same reason Patricia got Amendola is Patricia, much to the chagrin of the organization, went out and got Amendola as a character guy and a locker room guy to set an attitude. So maybe Flores would want to do that. I don't know.
Think of it this way, too. You know, with Rob Gronkowski, they already had a guy at that position, and Rob Gronkowski had a big injury history, and he hadn't played in a year.
He had some juice left.
So it's almost the exact same thing as Edelman.
No. I disagree. Edelman's done.
When Gronk stopped playing, everyone thought he was broken.
Yeah, but Edelman...
He had a year to heal.
He's also the greatest of all time. And then you have Edelman, who was a good player.
I mean, you're saying a year to heal as it was a positive, whereas most people viewed that as a negative.
But he was also younger.
Whatever. There are comparisons. I mean, you're not off base. There are comparisons. Are they one and the same? No. But there are comparisons.
Brady says thanks, but no thanks.
It's entirely up to him. I don't know. The best is if Edelman made the Buccaneers, and I don't know when he'd play. They don't play the same position, basically, but I don't know who's a free agent over there. But, Edelman could just go. I mean, he could get season tickets.
He could be their unofficial mascot, like their Aztec Geno.
Yeah. I mean, who's gonna who wants
that? Would be the best.
He just shows up. Aztec Gino, number one. Bucks number one.
Plus, Edelman doesn't have to play because he's such a big star outside of football. So we'll see.
I mean, listen, social media comes calling. By the way, you remember this?
Yes, this is Aztec Gino.
Yes,
that's who he can be.
Yes, indeed, that is. He can be Aztec Gino, the Buccaneers. Correct.
Whatever happened to Aztec Gino? Like, now that I think about it, like, I can't believe that was, like, a real thing, but he's always in the TD Garden dancing around with his shield.
I imagine if we send someone to... We should send Nick just down to the garden and just see who's still lurking around there. That might not be a bad thing to have him do. Just to
I'm not sending him down there right now. I'm just going to interview
please.
People.
He's fine. People are out. Let's see who's down at the garden. Nick, go down to the garden tonight. Are the Bruins playing at the garden?
No.
Oh,
no, they're in New Jersey.
Maybe when the Bruins are home next Thursday, you should go down to the garden and see who's out there. I mean, you can go down there. There's people getting...
Yes, this is Aztec Gino.
I mean, the television stations are interviewing everyone over under the sun. So, I don't know why we can't. All right, everyone have a great day. Julian Edelman, hopefully you're not saying goodbye to Boston. I miss you on that penny board, just skating around, soul skating, as they say. Not trying to do no tricks, just doing it on your own. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.